There was a teenage boy, he had just gotten his driver's license, and so he went to his dad and said, "Hey, Dad, when do I get to start driving the car?" And his dad said, "Well, let's make a deal." He said, "Your marks, you know, there's C's. You got to bring your marks up to B's. And then, you know, I want you to be reading your Bible more. And third is, you got to cut your hair." And so the boy, well, he was okay with that. 6 weeks go by, and the dad approached his son and said, "Son, you have moved your grades from C's to B's. And I see you reading the Bible, but why haven't you cut your hair?" And the boy said, "Well, Dad, you know, I've been reading the Bible. I noticed there are some people in the Bible that have long hair, like Moses does and Samson does and John the Baptist does. And I think even Jesus has long hair." And the dad said, "Did you also notice they walked everywhere they went?" Hopefully our lives become more than a trivial pursuit. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you that each of us have been made in your image. And as a result, we have great value. We each have gifts and abilities that you've placed in our lives. Help us to fulfill your purpose for us. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. In this month of November, we've been in 1 John chapter 2. I'm continuing from there. 1 John chapter 2, 12 to 17. Ernie will put it up on the screen. I'll read it to you. "I'm writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven on account of his name. I'm writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I'm writing to you, young people, because you've conquered the evil one. I write to you, children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. And I write to you, young people, because you're strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you've overcome the evil one. Do not love the world or the things in the world. The love of the Father is not in those who love the world. For all that is in the world, the desire of the flesh, the desire of the eyes, the pride of riches, comes not from the Father, but from the world. And the world and its desires are passing away, but those who do the will of God abide forever." As John is writing the Christian churches in Asia Minor, he's taken the opportunity to question the motive of our hearts. It's easy to say they love God and the things of God, but John says, if this is true, how is it that you hate your brother and sister in Christ? Even if others have wronged us, to hold such feelings in our hearts allows darkness to enter our lives. When we're hurt or offended and do not seek forgiveness, we open a door which will separate us from God and give the enemy of our souls room, a foothold to destroy us. Without forgiveness, we're trapped. In the Gospel of Matthew's version of the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 11, 9 to 14, it ends like this: "If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins." In today's passage, the apostle wants to remind these followers of Jesus of God's deep love for them. 1 John 2, 12 to 14. It reaffirms who we are in Christ. In these first three verses of the text, John uses three terms: children, fathers, and those who are mature. Fathers being those who are mature, and those who are young, in describing the Christians in Asia Minor. Each of these expressions is used twice: children, father, young. They're meant to refer to all the followers of Jesus. In 1 John 2, verse 12 to 14, first phrase, "I'm writing to you, my dear children, because your sins are forgiven on account of his name." This is a very affectionate term, dear children, from an older apostle to his spiritual children. These followers of Christ are children of God. In Romans 8, 15 to 16, it says, "For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back on into fear, but you receive the spirit of adoption. We cry, Abba, Father. It's that very spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are truly the children of God. Once each of us receive God's grace and forgiveness in our lives, we become alive to God's spiritual kingdom, and we're adopted as sons and daughters of the King. Our past pains, sorrows, and regrets don't need to haunt us any longer. When anyone questions our reputation or our identity, we just point to the Heavenly Father, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and let Him handle the accusations brought against us. Verse 14, it says that these children of God have known the Father. Those who have encountered the forgiveness that comes through Christ have experienced fellowship with God the Father. There's a new awareness of God as our Father who deeply and intimately loves each one of us. The second phrase mentioned again in 1 John 2, 12 and 14, the New Living Translation puts it, you who are mature, don't think father here, but you who are mature, well, a father could be mature, I guess. Because you know of him who's from the beginning, or that Christ existed from the beginning. We've all had the opportunity to experience God, whether we're in our first day of our walk with God, or in our 30th, or 40th, or 50th. But those who've walked many years with the Lord have had many more opportunities of seeing God's faithfulness, kindness, and provision. They have learned to rely on the Father's strength time and again. The longer we walk with God, the greater the possibility of seeing a bigger glimpse of what He indeed is like. It's like some of our friendships that are decades old. Over time, we learn more and more about our friends because of our connection and communication with them. We continue to become more self-aware about ourselves and discover more about Jesus as our relationship deepens. The third phrase, 1 John 2, verses 12 to 14, address those who are young. For you have won your battle with the evil one. They're strong in their faith, and the word of God abides in them. These who it refers to may not have followed in God's ways since childhood, but within them there is a great zeal and excitement concerning their spiritual lives. These people are strong because of their dependency on God's word, which abides in them. In the battle of life, they've overcome the evil one, referring to the work of Christ that has happened in their lives. Do you remember how Jesus defeated the devil after 40 days in the wilderness without eating? Jesus quoted back scripture. Read the word of God. Meditate on it. Use the Bible to strengthen you in the midst of attack or temptation. These have stepped from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. So the words the Apostle John wants to affirm the amazing work that God has done in each of these Christians' lives. The amazing thing Jesus has done in each of our lives. A man from China who was converted to Christ told this story. A man fell in a dark, slimy pit. He tried to climb out of the pit, but he couldn't. Confucius came along, saw the man and said, poor fellow, had he listened to me, he would have never gotten in there. And he went on. Buddha came along and saw the man in the pit, said, poor fellow, if he'd come up here, I'd help him. And he too kept on walking. Then Jesus Christ came along and said, poor fellow. He jumped down in the pit and lifted him out. Jesus pulled each one of us out of the pit. 1 John 2:15 to 17 cautions us to be aware of the entrapments of this world. Even though things are going really well for many of these Christians in their spiritual lives, the apostle wants to caution them in how easy it is to be sucked in and tricked. Verse 15 starts by saying, do not love the world or the things of the world. The New Living says it like this. Stop loving this world and all that it offers you. By the world here, John is defining it as anything that opposes God or lifts itself up and places itself against God and his ways. Throughout the Gospels, Jesus says over and over, to follow God is going to cost you everything. Everything you hold dear. But in the end, you'll have more than is even imaginable. The verse ends by saying, the love of the Father is not in those who love the world. To pursue the godless pleasures in this life is to separate oneself from God. Our world's goal is to accumulate as much as possible, from wealth to possessions to prestige, so we can attempt to control or manipulate the outcome in our lives. When Jesus comes to earth, he radically turns everything on its head. He calls us to lead by serving, to carry our cross, to give help to others instead of accumulating. Why? Because when you find the pearl of great price, it'll cost you everything. But when you surrender to Jesus, you will have everything you've ever needed. Love, acceptance, forgiveness. In 1 John 2:16, John describes the things the world wants to offer us. The desires of the flesh, the lust for what we see, the pride in riches and possessions. The desire or lust of the flesh is our physical appetite that never seems to be satisfied, longing always for more cars, houses, relationship. The lust of what we see are the things that we do not possess, from relationships to possessions, the covetous nature that always wants to acquire more. VeggieTales, Madame Blueberry, they go to the Stuff Mart. She never had enough stuff. Finally, the pride of riches, in which the person boasts how great they are because of all the things they've obtained. In all of these pursuits, we're driven by our desires. We find ourselves forever chasing a fleeting mist that even when captured, it seems to slip through our fingers. A longing that is never fulfilled. A bad dream that never ends. None of these obsessions and extremes are initiated or authored by God. James 1:13, it says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God can't be tempted by evil. Nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted by his own evil desire. He's dragged away and enticed. Then after desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's fully grown, gives birth to death. The text ends in 1 John 2:17 by revealing the outcome or the end result of choosing God's way or the world's way that is opposed to God. The world and its passions are fleeting, and shortly they'll pass away. But those who follow God's way will live forever. Amen. Today's decisions that we are making have implications for present and for eternity. A young driver was in a hurry to get to an appointment and was in downtown in a city but couldn't find a parking spot. So went around and around and around, and at some point they realized, I'm not going to make my appointment. So they parked in a park, a place where you can't park. You're not allowed to park. And they wrote a note on their windshield and said, I had to park here. I'm sorry. If I don't make this appointment, I'll lose my job. Forgive me for my sins. Went to his appointment. When he came back, he was surprised. There was a ticket under his windshield wiper. And he picked it up, and it was from a policeman. And the policeman said, I've been going around this block for 20 years. If I don't give you a ticket, I'll lose my job. Lead us not into temptation. In this letter, John wants to encourage these followers of Jesus who live in Asia Minor to pursue the things that will last, and this can be found in God's kingdom. In our digital world, it is so easy to project and pretend or make up certain kinds of images for ourselves, the things that we want people to think about us. Even Facebook, we can put up a picture that we took when we were 20 years older, or younger, I mean. Have you ever noticed this at funerals? And they have the cards of the picture, and the people look like they're teenagers, and yet they're 90 years old and died? How does that work? So even on Facebook, we could take pictures that we took 20 years or put up, or we could even do better, put somebody else's picture there, pretending it's us. I hate to be the one that tells you, but you're getting older. We want to go back in time or pretend to be someone we are not. There'll be those inside and outside the church that'll pursue things such as power, prestige, possessions, and positions. But even if they're able to obtain these things for a short period of time, every one of these things will fail them. In each of our lives, things will arrive that'll make us question what we believe. This can come in the form of difficulty, or maybe through temptation, or some event that seems unjust and unfair. How do we keep our bearings in a culture that seems to redefine their values almost daily? In this text, John affirms that it's important that we know who we are, that we are God's children, that we belong to his kingdom. There are those around us who have great spiritual maturity and have learned through the years how to keep their heads about them through the challenges of life. It is wise to make such people your friends and to glean from their understanding of God and his ways. It's so easy to be drawn into the way the world conducts relationships with each other. You do what you have to get to the top. And once you're there, then you promise to start living a life of integrity that pleases God. But God cares more about us living with integrity now, whether we ever get to the top or not. If we just had more money, we would solve all the world's problems with war and famine. But deep down, we know it's not money that's going to be the solution. If we just had more relationships, Solomon, the wisest king who had ever lived, had 700 wives and then concubines on top of that. We have to question if Solomon really was the wisest person after that. But it still did not satisfy. In Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. What we allow to go on inside of us will eventually surface in how we act and behave toward God and others. Are we trusting in our own devices or in God's goodness? We can spend our lives on such trivial pursuits, but in the end, it'll not last. Transformed lives that lead us to God and away from selfishness is the kind of life that's worth pursuing with all of our being. The kind of work that'll last a lifetime and then some. Let's pray. God, we want the work of our lives and the passion of our lives to be directed first and foremost to you. We invite you to search our ambitions and motives to make sure we're in line with your will. May our lives ever be impacting for your kingdom. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Forever, our hope, our strong believer.
Couple announcements, benediction, we'll sing one more song, and then you'll be dismissed. Again, youth this week, 7 to 8:30. If you want prayer this morning, there'll be people in the back corner that will pray with you. There are times in our lives where we can feel powerless. As teenagers, we can feel powerless. There are these parents over us that seem to make all these decisions. There's one place that you're not powerless. It's in your choices. Nobody controls your choices but you. As you go under the sign of the cross, knowing that your choices could be etched in eternity because of following the Christ. Amen.
Please stand if you're able for our last song here.
God, I'm begging, please again, I need you. Oh, I need you. Walking down this desert road, water for my thirsty soul, I need you. Oh, I need you. Your forgiveness, like sweet, sweet honey on my lips. Sound of a symphony to my ears, like holy water on my skin. Dead men walking, a slave to sin. I want to know about being born again. I need you. Oh God, I need you. So take me to the riverside. Take me under, baptized. I need you. Oh God, I need you. Your forgiveness, like sweet, sweet honey on my lips. Like the sound of a symphony to my ears, like holy water. Your forgiveness, like sweet, sweet honey on my lips, like the sound of a symphony to my ears, like holy. Your grace, God, I need it every day. It's the only thing that ever really makes me want change. I don't want to abuse your grace. God, I need it every day. It's the only thing that ever really makes me want change. I don't want to abuse your grace. God, I need it every day. It's the only thing that ever really makes me want change. I don't want to abuse your grace. God, I need it every day. It's is the only thing that ever really makes me want to change. Your forgiveness is like a sweet, sweet honey on my lips, like the sound of a symphony to my ears, like holy water. Your forgiveness, like sweet, sweet honey on my lips, like the sound of a symphony to my ears, like holy water. Your forgiveness, sound of a symphony to my ears, like holy water on my skin. All right. Let's do the maybe.